Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. And this is episode 11. Wow. I can't believe it. 11 episodes. I guess I've been doing this almost 3 months. Pretty much every week, except there was a period around the holidays when my mom went to the hospital. I did every 2 weeks. So, I don't know, 3-4 months. I think I'm hanging in there, folks. I think I'm going for the long haul on this, you know, and I feel it's serving its purpose for me. So I hope it's serving its purpose for you, whatever that might be. It's kind of a cool, I shouldn't say cold. That's an insult to people who live in cold climates. It's a gray day here in Los Angeles. It's not the kind of day that we signed up for, but occasionally that happens. It's rained a little bit. It's probably 60 degrees, and I'm still wearing shorts. That's right, I'm still wearing shorts, and I don't care what anybody says. It's the couple days after the Super Bowl, and I think I made it pretty clear in a previous podcast somewhere that I'm not a sports guy per se. I don't follow any sport, really. I kind of peripherally know about certain things. Football, I was never that into. Even as a kid, I grew up in New Jersey, and we would play it when it's cold, and I did the shape of the ball, and they would throw it, and the point would go into your chest, and it would hurt, and I go, this hurts. I want to play baseball instead. This is too, and then besides that hurting, then someone's going to tackle you and throw you to the ground. Who came up with this crazy game? But it's a popular game, and we just had the Super Bowl. And I actually watched it. I wasn't planning to. Actually, I said to Jason, my friend Jason, we had gone during the holidays to that Jewish deli. I said, hey, you know, I said last week, I said, hey, that's how I talked to him. Hey, Jason, I said, we should, are you going to watch the Super Bowl? Do you care about it? He goes, I don't really care about it. I said, neither do I. Why don't we take that day to go get some more of that great Jewish deli? When everybody else is watching the Super Bowl, we will be eating high-fat, high-caloric foods. And he said, yeah, that's let's do that. Okay. And then a couple days later, he came to me and said, you know, I was thinking maybe we could do both. We could see, I've got this new HD TV thing, and we can watch part of it. Then we can go to the deli. And I said, I thought you weren't caring about the game. But he said, well, it's the Giants, and he's from New Jersey, too. As I'm from New Jersey, where the Giants normally play in New Jersey. And I said, you know what? I made an executive decision. I said, listen, Jason, here's what I'm going to say to you. And I'm going to say this to you in all sincerity. I am putting the deli on the back burner. And I am going to Congress. And I am making a proposal that we watch the Super Bowl instead. We do the whole Super Bowl. I'll do the Super Bowl from start to finish with you. How's that? And he said, okay, great. So I was going to go to his house. He's got a nice apartment they moved into. Very nice character, old school with the tiles that are beautiful. And unlike this place, which is, you know, not, you know, I don't want to denigrate my apartment, but it doesn't have the most character. It was built in 1970. His was built in like the 40s, I think. Anyway, I digress. So we decide to watch the Super Bowl, and it's supposed to be just me and him. And then he calls me up and tells me that his brother-in-law, who's a fantastic artist, does storyboards and things like that, and who is a nice guy. I don't know him that well, but he said he called and wanted to know what he was doing for the Super Bowl. And so Jason asked me, would you mind if he joined? I said, absolutely not. You know, bring him on. That's fine. We'll have him. And all I kept thinking about were the snacks. That's all I cared about. I'm obsessed with food. Whenever someone's eating something, if I know the person, not if I don't know them, I'll ask them what that is if I don't know what it is. What are you having? What are you having there? What are you eating? I always want to know what people are eating. I just love food. And so, you know, I kept saying, well, you know, what kind of snacks are we going to get? Should we plan the snacks? And he said his brother-in-law was going to come over with some, like, chips and some, he was going to bring some alcoholic beverages and some non-alcoholic beverages. And I go, okay, great. And I said, maybe I'll stop and get some chips too or something. I don't know. We'll just see. You know, so I'm just thinking, I'm not thinking about the game. I don't care about the game. You know, I'm going to root for the Giants simply because I'm from New Jersey. But I do not care about the game. All I care about are the chips. And so, on the day of the game, I call Jason up. I'm running kind of late. I go, you know, since your brother-in-law is bringing some stuff, you mind if I don't bring anything? I'll just come over and then we'll just order, like, we're going to order food anyway, right? Because in addition to the snacks, the chips and all, we are also planning on ordering food. That's right, folks. It's a smorgasbord of food. So he goes, no, come on over. Just get over here. So I go over there to his house. And when I get there, it's just him and another guy who I didn't know was going to be there. But last minute, this guy shows up. And he was a very nice guy. And you know, I didn't mind him being there. And I said to Jason, I said, well, is your brother-in-law here? He goes, no. I go, well, do we have any snacks? He goes, no. No, we're waiting for him. He goes, I could go down. He says, I could go to the store and pick up some chips if you want. I go, no. Just, you know, just part of my obsession here. And his brother-in-law did not show up until almost halftime. You know, I don't know what he was thinking. You know, I don't know if he was mulling over, should I get Doritos or should I get potato chips? I don't know, but he finally showed up. But before he showed up, we decided, because all three of us that were there at the game, and I got there just a couple minutes after kickoff. I missed the national anthem, which I think they need to get a different song for sporting events because it's too many. It's the range is too much. I think America the Beautiful would be good, or the Rolling Stones. You can't always get what you want. You know, you can't always get what you want, but if you try sometime, I would love to hear a stadium of people sing that. Maybe have a different national anthem for every year or for different sporting events. But I missed that. I missed the kickoff, and so, but I did get to see, you know, 99% of the game. And so we're into the first quarter, and we decide we're going to order pizza. I just suggested pizza. The reason being, one of my neighbors recently came home with a pizza from our neighborhood that claims to be very New York in style. And my neighbor is also from New Jersey. And he was extolling the virtues of this pizza. And I had this pizza years ago, and I didn't remember it being particularly good or bad. But it's been years, and I haven't had pizza probably in about a year, I think. And I was kind of jonesing for the pizza. So I said, let's have some pizza. Let's go to this place and get the pizza. When I go there, we'll have them deliver. And so Jason says, okay. And the other guy says, okay. And Jason calls up and he proceeds to, Jason is, first of all, he's a very effective communicator, particularly on the telephone. He's very good. But in this situation, I don't know, he was stumbling and he got this very young girl on the other end of the phone. Maybe it's because I was interjecting, you know, we were going to get two large pizzas, one vegetarian and one with some meat and some vegetables on it. And so he calls up and he's like, tells the girl, I want one pizza just plain. And then I go, no, you want the vegetarian, right? And he goes, I want one vegetarian. Now she's getting confused. She goes, all right, you want one plain and one vegetarian? No, I just want one vegetarian. And then what's the meat lovers? Well, the meat lovers is every meat that has ever been come off an animal's carcass, put on a pizza and cooked they're very high degrees, and then we sell it to you, and then it clogs your arteries. And we say, well, we're just going to get the sausage and some mushrooms, onions, and green peppers. Okay, you want a meat lovers, a sausage and thing? You know, you want the cheese? You want the vegetarian? No, he's going, no. And it's like two Jerry Lewis's. He's like Jerry Lewis. She's like, no, I said I want the vegetarian with the thing, with the a vegetarian, one vegetarian, and the one with the sausage. And she goes, okay, you want two sausages with a vegetarian on the side? No, I want, you know, okay, you want a hamburger with french fries with the thing? And this is, he was getting frustrated, and I kept interjecting. I kept saying, give me the phone, I'll talk. But he finally got her to understand. I predicted that there would be an error. She said it would take about 90 minutes, and I said, okay, you know, and I said, yeah, you know, it is Super Bowl Sunday, everybody's ordering probably. And so we prepared for a 90-minute wait. But however, within a half an hour, an Asian man shows up delivering our Italian pizza, and we paid for the pizza, and we had the pizza, And I got to tell you, folks, not impressed. Not impressed with this pizza. It was okay. It wasn't the greatest. It wasn't the worst. It was a little bland, I thought. I thought the crust was a little bland. I thought the... It just didn't have it. It was lacking that oomph. And to claim that it's got a New York thing is an insult to New Yorkers and anybody in the tri-state area. So I'm just saying right now, I'm not going to mention the place because I don't want to mention it, but I didn't think it was very good. And so we watched the game, and the game was, the first half was, you know, I get into, like I said before, I like good plays, you know, when somebody, a good run, a good pass or something like that. And I get excited, you know, but the first half was kind of boring. And I'm told that that's kind of a strategy that these people use. They bore you to death. They lull you in with boringness. And then they kind of get exciting later on. And Jason showed off his prowess, his intelligence prowess in football by he would like name plays. Like all you see that what they just did was a running back quarter field, which was, you know, and then you see what that they did over there was the hummingbird reciprocator, which goes to the back nine of the. And I was like, at one point I said, you know, dude, that's great. You know all these. I basically know first down, touchdown, you know, things like that. I mean, and I can follow the general thing, but I might have no interest in the fine night points of it. And I said, that's great. Well, what are we going to have, a test? Are you going to, like, pass out papers at some point? And we just kept watching. And then halftime came. And, you know, but Madonna came out, and she had a legion of, like, you know, 90,000 people working with her. And it was the most unentertaining thing I've seen in a long time. I didn't really get it. She sang, well, she didn't really sing. She lip sank some of her old songs, and they did this weird choreography. It's as if some choreographer came to her and said, "Madonna, listen, my idea is to take some of your old hits, and we're going to do is get a lot of people dressing in Roman garb and things like that, and we're just going to just have them moving in a fashion. It'll be just very coordinated." And it will be so uninteresting. I mean, it will have absolutely no excitement. I mean, that's whatsoever. It will bore the people. It's boring me to tell you this. And I think that's what we should do. And she signed off on it, and it just didn't make any sense. CeeLo, excuse me. CeeLo was singing with her. At one point, we had like one of those gowns that you like church choir people wear, and he's smiling. And I think that's behind his smile. He was thinking, like, I have no idea what I'm doing here. But I'm getting paid a lot of money, and or I'm being exposed to like a billion people on the planet Earth right now. And it just, I don't know, it was just it was lame-o. It was lame-o. And then we did the second half, and of course there were the commercials, and I don't know, the Clint Eastwood commercial stood out. That was about it. That was about it. The rest of them were kind of ordinary, I thought. And I just love in football, the coaches on the sidelines, they're I don't know, are they on the phone anymore? Didn't they used to be on the phone? Now they have like a helmet, they kind of have a phone, like a headset phone. Who are they talking to? I don't understand. What the hell are, you know, are they, do they have like an, is that like a telemarketing job? Is he doing is he selling toner during the game? He's going, you know, all right, that's a little joke I threw in there. At the end of my last story today, I'm going to tell a few more things, but I'm going to bring up a close encounter with Madonna, since I mentioned her, but I'm going to do that at the end. So here's what's going on in my building. They want to, the management ownership, they want to get rid of, we have a swimming pool. If you look on, I think my first episode, there's a picture out my front door, shows a pool. And I was going to maybe shoot another picture today, but it's kind of raining, so I don't know if I will. But they, since 1985, I'm told, I guess the law has stated that for safety's reasons, they should have a gate around the pool so, you know, nobody falls in, particularly children. And since 1985, almost 30 years, and now they're finally getting around to complying on some level. And what they want to do, they're saying that the gate is just not going to be feasible. I mean, they could do it, but it would be kind of, you know, the place isn't, the place was built in 1970, they didn't have a gate in mind. So it's not going to be feasible to put this gate up or comfortable or aesthetic or whatever, all the other long words that I normally don't use. And so what they want to do is they want to get rid of the pool and put in a garden and get some new lawn furniture or patio furniture, put in some more plants, put in some more barbecues, new barbecues, you know, and do that kind of a thing. And then on top of that, reduce our rent by $15. And I'm like, okay, I never even use a pool anyway, so I'm okay with it. But then there are certain people in the building. I talked to one person, and she was saying, you know, this is why people moved here. You know, it's got that old kind of Los Angeles, California thing, like, you know, built in like a almost like a motel with a pool in the middle, and you know, and people enjoy the pool in the summertime. I didn't think people use it that much anymore, but apparently they do. And so I will keep you abreast. Is that okay to say abreast when I'm talking about a pool? Okay. I'll keep you informed of what happens with the pool. And they asked us for our input, and they asked us to kind of, it looked like we were kind of voting on it. But I get the feeling that they're going to do whatever they want to do. So I just voted, okay, do it. You know, give me a discount and, you know, whatever. I mean, I want to get, you know, once I get these hips fixed, I'm thinking I'm about moving into a upgrading, and maybe it'll be Alberman Live from a bigger place or nicer place. Not that this is not a nice place. This is still a nice place. It's just I've been here a while, and it might be time to move the heck on. Another thing is the front gate, the saga of the front gate. It still seems to be not working. I came out the other afternoon, and in the courtyard was a gentleman who didn't belong in the building. Nice guy, wasn't doing any harm. He was just looking for somebody. And he said, I asked him how he got in. He said, well, the gate was open. And I said, okay. And then I finally, you know, I just decided to email the owner and say, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but the gate has been broken. I mean, it has been broken since before Christmas, and now I'm catching people who don't live here in the courtyard, and I just thought you should know this. And in typical not taking responsibility for anything fashion, his first response to me is, you know, I was there last week twice, and I was able to, the gate was locked, and everything was fine. Oh, okay, so I'm lying. What I'm doing is I'm making it up. I want to freaking email you and tell you this, and I'm hallucinating people in the courtyard. I mean, you know, can't you just say, okay, I'll check it out. Thanks for letting me know. I'm just giving him a heads up. I mean, I thought I was doing an okay thing. He did say he would check into it. He said, we did fix the gate in December, but maybe it's broken again. Yeah, maybe it's broken again. And maybe you're a genius. Okay? God, that burns my butt. When people just don't, they can't just like accept responsibility and say, yeah, you know, we've been having trouble with that gate. I don't know. We're trying to fix it. I would say, okay, we'll fix it when you can. But anyway, so I guess they'll fix it. I don't care, really. Fix it, don't fix it. I was just letting them know. I mean, if somebody really wants to get in this building, it's not like this is Fort Knox. I mean, they're going to get in. So I was just trying to help out. Just trying to be of service. Trying to be of service. And see, I'm trying to think now. I think this could be it. I think this could be the, you know, I got all this stuff to do today. Like, I have other stuff to do every day when I do my podcast. But today, I'm pressed for time, and I don't know. I think I've gone on for a while, so perhaps I don't need to go on too much longer. So I think I will end with my big closer, my close encounter with Madonna. Folks, this goes back to the year 1990, which is the summer of 1990, which is about a little over 20 years ago. And at the time, I lived in a section of Hollywood called East Hollywood, and there was a girl in my neighborhood who moved to the Silver Lake area with a roommate, and she had invited me over one day, and I was there, and when I got to her apartment, there I saw a poster of Madonna on the wall, And I almost wised off, because I'm such a wise ass, almost wised off about Madonna. But I didn't, particularly when the roommate showed up, this girl at the time. She was a girlish girl. Well, she was a young woman. And I met her, and then I left, and then my friend said to me, you know, she is one of the sisters of Madonna. And I was like, oh, okay. I said, well, I'm glad that I didn't, you know, make a, you know, wise-ass remark. I mean, I respect Madonna. I like Madonna. I think she got some good songs. Not a lot of them, I don't think. I don't know. I'm not, like, a big Madonna fan. But I'm glad I didn't disparage her. And so that summer goes on, and I see this girl a couple times. I think she kind of liked me at the time. I'm not sure. I think there was a little crush going on. Not sure. Seemed that way. I've never been there. I don't know if I read it right. Maybe I was just wishful thinking. But at one point, I got to go up to the house that Madonna lived in at the time, which was up Doheny Drive in West Hollywood in the hills, because this girl was house sitting for her, because Madonna was on tour at the time with her Blonde Ambition tour. And so I went with my friend, and we went up there, and, you know, it was a nice house. It was not a mansion, but it was big and roomy. It had original artwork, which I don't know anything about art, but I was told, and I believe that it was like art, like this is a Jose, and this is a Jaza, and this is a Jazam. And, you know, it wasn't decorated particularly well or not well. You know, it was just like, it was like a working class person who lived in a big house. And at one point, I ended up in Madonna's bedroom with her sister and another sister that was visiting. Now, lest you think that we were having any kind of sexual encounter. We were not. We were merely hanging out. There were other people that were actually hanging out in the house. But they were giving me a tour, and ended up in Madonna's bedroom, and I was sitting on, Madonna had a couch facing her bed, and I think one of her sisters sat maybe on a couch with me, or maybe on a chair, and the other one maybe was on the bed, I'm not sure, and we were just talking, and then at one point, the sister, I think that I knew, turned to the other sister and said, you know, this room smells like Madonna, and I almost fell off my chair, I almost fell off that couch. I mean, who says that? I didn't really particularly discern any kind of aroma. I mean, I know we all have our own scent, but I guess, and I thought, well, yeah, if it does smell like her, it should. It's her friggin' house. Okay, it's her house. So, at one point, I was doing Robin Leach impersonations. He used to have that show, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. I went into one of her closets, took out a shoe, and like, look at Madonna's shoe! And, you know, trying to be funny. I think I got some laughs there. And that was about it. That was my one and only time at her house. I've never come close to ever meeting her again or being near her again. I probably never will. I mean, I should say probably never will. You never know. Maybe I'll do a comedy show sometime and run into her. I don't know. But that's it. And so, folks, I just want to say that I want to thank everybody. This is it. This is the end of episode 11. I've had fun doing it today. I want to thank everybody who listens. I'm continuously finding out that people are listening that I didn't know they were listening. Not continuously. It's not like nonstop. But I am finding that out. And I'm having fun. It's serving its purpose. And until next week, it's Al Berman live from Studio Apartment in North Hollywood, California, saying...